Today's episode of Fantasy Fiction is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Kindle, MP3 player, or Magic Stone. Today we're recommending The Eye of the World, Book 1 of The Wheel of Time by Robert Jordan. It's a 30-hour book, people. Think of the value. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction for your free audiobook download. And if they ask, tell them Snickerdoodle sent you. Reese's can suck it.
In the land of fantasy, on the fields of fiction, there rode two knights across the plain. Two thieves of the night, two warriors of honor, in the shadow of the mountain cry their name. Until the deed is done.
Fantasy fiction.
Until the quest is won.
Fantasy fiction.
The battle's in our minds.
Fantasy fiction.
Until the end of time.
Hey everybody, welcome to Fantasy Fiction. My name is Dominic.
My name's Josh.
And I'm Terry Brooks.
Oh,
Terry,
my God. Brooks. He's back.
I'm back to talk about my new political newsletter.
You have a political newsletter.
It's terrible.
It's terrible.
Terrible. Oh, brilliant.
Hi. It's me, Tim.
It's Tim Jennings joining us yet again. This is our first guest in a long time.
Yeah,
I think you may have been the last guest.
That's crazy. I can't believe there aren't people banging down the door of the Fantasy Fiction studio.
It's tough. You got to be a real good friend to get on. You got to know some people, namely Dom or I.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to get into my house
yeah.
and then just open the door to my little room where I
yep. Which is what I did.
Someone was just opening the door and I looked and it was Tim.
Me. And I was like, I should have knocked.
Oh, I'm not mad now. It's my friend Tim, not a stranger.
And I wasn't doing anything weird.
Pretty much nothing weird. But we have tales of the relics and ice Vikings.
Ice Vikings.
Ice Vikings.
I picked these props out this week, guys.
You did.
Relics, self-explanatory. Yeah. We all know what a relic is. What's an ice Viking? I don't really know. And I figured it was up for interpretation.
Yeah. Good. I figured it was one of those things you could interpret as
Yeah, you
would.
Could just make up.
There's somebody out there right now with a Norwegian flag hanging on his wall going, "You can't interpret ice Vikings. They're very specific.
I'm the direct descendant of one."
But Relics was submitted by Kellen Notwell.
Oh, I hope they get
better. Better. And ice Vikings was submitted by none other than somebody named Ragnarok.
So, oh, wow. The Ragnarok?
Well, that's it. Check out their YouTube page.
We should just have, like, another Fantasy Fiction YouTube page that's just Viking videos.
Yeah, I like this.
Well, you know what's interesting about Vikings being a prompt on this show? Is that Vikings are real.
Yeah, Vikings are a real thing. Well,
relics
are real
too.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, relics are real. But I mean, that'd be like if one week somebody was like, "Oh, cowboys is your prompt for this week,"
and we would have picked that. But this is ice Vikings.
True.
So those are definitely not real, and we had to make them up for the show.
What if they're like Vikings from Iceland? Because Iceland had lots of Vikings.
Josh, you bring up a lot of great points. What did you do this week?
I spent my entire week taking my cat to the vet.
Oh, that's right. Your cat was sick, right?
He's got ear rot.
Oh, what the fuck is that?
Oh, God.
Nobody knows. Okay, like, if you want to, like, get pissed off at the medical profession, not just of humans, but of animals,
I do.
You do? Okay, good. You take your cat to the vet, and then you have him do $600 worth of curing on him.
Oh.
And then
a pet plan? It's pet insurance.
Yeah, there's pet insurance. I could do that, I guess. Also, $600 of just straight syringes in this cat's veins for them to tell you, "We don't know what it is." Yeah, he's okay. Like, you know, he's doesn't have, like, a fever. I had to, like, do the in-the-butt temperature at my house alone with my cat. Yeah. So we've
like
reached...
You have to
specify here. Was that for you or the cat?
It was the cat. I didn't put it in my own butt.
Cat, with the cat could have meant that the cat was just in the room while you were doing it.
Oh, he was in the room, but I now we've reached the level of mutual shame that I stuck the thermometer that I put in my mouth in my cat's butt.
What's the cat's name?
Spot.
Does Spot look at you now like he can't fully trust you?
He actually looks at me like he loves me a lot more now.
Aww.
I think because he knows, like, I had to drive him in a car to save his life.
I think more so he was like, I know how much $600 is.
Yeah.
He's it's like, true. I used to have money before I lived with you.
Cat Reaper. I'm the cat. I don't have a very good track record with cats.
How many cats have you had?
I've only had three, and every single cat I've owned has had, like, a major issue.
A dead mysterious ear rot.
One of them had a blocked pee hole one time.
Oh. That's right.
He lived. He's alive. He's got a big old pee hole now. They reamed that sucker out.
He loves to pee. Or...
Good for him.
Dude, I hear the cat pee sometimes. Like, I hear the cat pee. Like, have you ever heard anyone say, I've heard...
Are you serious? It has, like, a big pee hole?
Oh, yeah.
Now?
He's got a big-ass pee hole, dude.
I didn't know they could do that.
Dude, it was crazy. Yeah.
Can you get that done to your cat if it's not sick?
You know what? Probably.
Elective.
Like, yo, I got a custom cat. Its piss is so loud.
You guys got to come over here. My cat piss.
Tim, what did you do this week?
You know what I did? I ordered a ton of Golden Books.
Oh,
dude.
My son really loves Golden Books, and I have, as a result, gotten into collecting them.
They're cool.
I love them. And so, like, I order, sometimes I try to order, like, rare ones.
Mm-hmm. What's the rare one? Like, what would be a rare one?
I have one it's an episode of the 70s TV show Buck Rogers.
Ooh.
They made a golden book of that?
It's a golden book of Buck Rogers. It's really great. It's really great.
That's awesome.
It's so cheesy, and the story's so dumb, but it's really great. But I was on Amazon and I discovered a bunch of new ones coming out, and I ordered him the original Star Wars prequels as hand-drawn golden books.
What?
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Which I don't think they ever had before. They were like, they had books where it was pictures, like actual photographs.
Right.
But not hand-drawn.
Not drawn.
In golden book style, which is, I thought, pretty cool.
I didn't know they still made them.
Do you have a favorite golden book?
Yes, I do. Actually, it's called The Wonders of Nature. And it basically goes through, like, all the different kinds of like environments of the world and what animals and plants live there.
Uh-huh.
But the drawings are so nuts and detailed. It's they're really great. But there's this one great page where there's these three kids at an aquarium,
mm-hmm,
looking at you from the other side of the glass, and they all look like characters from a horror movie.
That's some deep, like, shit, man.
It's super deep.
Is this a favorite from childhood or now?
No, I didn't read it as a kid. Saw it when I ordered it for my son, and I was like, look at these kids. It's like the what's that movie with the Bagul? Sinister.
Oh.
I remember we had Dr. Dan as a book. It comes with Band-Aids.
What? Oh, really?
Yeah, and I remember we had it, and I was like, I would look at it from time to time. I was like, this is going to be worth money one day. Still got the Band-Aids inside. Somebody's going to want these old Band-Aids.
Still got the Band-Aids.
Fuck, I'm cut. Where's that Dr.
Where's
Dan
that book?
Don't use the Band-Aids. Ah, I'm so hurt.
My first
Mom's
aid book.
Mom's going to die if we don't use the Band-Aids from the Dr. Dan book. Guys, I got to tell you about what I did this week.
What'd you do?
I watched Jackie Brown last night for the first time.
I fucking
time.
Love right. Jackie Brown.
Yeah, that movie's awesome.
It's great.
I love that movie.
Now, I'm trying to remember what Jackie Brown was about.
Well, Jackie Brown is a film about a heist, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like
sort of.
Do this exchange, and they're going to make off with some money.
Yeah, there aren't really a lot of movies about just even people of that age. Like the one, what's his name, is talking about how, like, he's like, oh, I went and got, like, hair plugs. Like, you don't see that in movies. Characters being like, I went and got hair plugs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
I feel like it's a lot different than the other Tarantino movies. Like, it still has all of his things that he does, like the long monologues and stuff like that.
It's a little more subdued. It's not not super Tarantino-y.
Yeah, it's pretty chill, actually. The pacing is real natural. It's a lot of fun. I like that movie a lot.
He would never make that movie now.
You don't think
I don't think he would. Hmm. He's gone full-blown, like, I'm making crazy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's subdued until Robert De Niro plows that blonde lady. Like, it just cuts to, like, him, like, just doggy-style fucking that lady, like, super hard.
I don't remember that part.
Dude.
Yeah, but the joke is that it's 3 minutes of sex.
Right, right. It's just like, yeah.
But anyway, we have tales this week, don't we?
We do.
Let us get to them by transitioning.
Some sort of transition goes here now.
All right, let's do it.
My story this week is called Fire and Ice, not the movie, the story.
Oh, I've heard about this. I heard the story is better.
It's like the book.
Oh, it's like the book, but it's not like the movie.
Thank God.
But the story, anyway.
I already saw the movie, and all I'm going to do is draw comparisons.
I'm pretty sure my story is loosely based on the movie. It's not. I don't think I've ever seen the movie. Wait, have I?
You have.
Is it animated?
Yes.
I've seen it.
I watched you watch it.
That's right. I watched it in public on the internet once.
You did.
There's a guy in it who is like a Native American man.
Yes.
I did see that.
Is it this man in your story?
He's not in my story. I didn't put
him. Get him in.
Then let the story begin.
All right. Let me quick get this in. Click, 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 click. Okay, he's in. He's in there now.
If that man is not in it, then begin and proceed.
1,000 eons ago, when all sea balls only had 3 all-sea stations, the realm of Theranos was filled with a bitchload of ancient and powerful relics. One such relic was the Chalice of Reverse Dying, said to have the power to grant whoever or whomever, I don't know the correct grammar, drinks from it immortality. This was an age where super powerful relics like this were all the fuck over the place because people hadn't yet been convinced they were evil and thrown them into hot lava. But, like, who would throw a super powerful evil object into hot lava? Being evil is dope. If you ever get a chance to be evil, you should do it because fuck it. You only live once and there is no God. Unless you have the Chalice of Reverse Dying, in which case you live once for like ever and you basically are God. Who says you're not God? Another benefit of being evil is you get to think whatever the fuck you want, even if it's not true.
That's the majority of being evil,
isn't
it? That's
true, though. Yep.
That's like step one of being evil. One ancient adventurer sought this power. Being one of the 12 most powerful ancient Viking warriors, this dude adventured hard as fuck. Whenever MCs would announce him at weddings, he'd walk out to Ace Hood's Hustlin' Hard, or the theme from Knight Rider, because that beat makes my wiener wet.
Oh, man.
His name was Ned Red Skull, ancient descendant of famous adventurer, friend to Catmen, and the Steak Daddy himself, Fred the Skull Peeler. Ned was the Viking of Ice. He controlled the element of ice and was one of the more respected members of the 12 most powerful Viking warriors. Not like that jit-faced Crom Cloudbeard who controlled the power of clouds. What the hell are you going to do with clouds, you fog-ass bitch? Get the fuck out of my story, Crom.
Wait, so this is Fred the Skull Peeler's brother?
It's his ancient descendant.
Oh.
From a long time ago. Like, I don't know, maybe it's his granddad. Maybe it's more than that. We don't know.
We don't know.
Wow.
Not in this story.
Wow. That's my favorite. Wow.
Wow.
Ned had been climbing up Mount Pringles for like 7 straight days with nearly no sleep. Eat Pringles. They'll give you the strength to climb up mountains. Buy Pringles and listen to Fantasy Fiction every other Moon's Day. If you want your product to be placed in a story, write to us at fantasyficpod@gmail.com. We accept swords as payment.
We do accept swords as payment. That is true.
Dude, be stupid not to.
And we've yet to be paid.
We're gonna hit the motherlode one day, Dom, with swords.
We will.
Mount Pringles was a snow-capped death trap that was basically if Mount Everest was possessed with the soul of 2 Jeffrey Dahmers.
But, oh my god.
But
that's evil.
That's super evil.
It's pretty evil mountain.
Don't read that Wikipedia entry before you go to bed.
No.
What, the Jeffrey Dahmer one?
Don't.
Did you know that his dad... Okay, this is a tangent. Did you know that he had a hand in a box under his bed and his dad found it, but his dad didn't open the box? Because he kind of knew?
Whoa.
Whoa.
Hey, Josh, Dom and I are going right to bed after this is over.
Have a sleepover. I don't have anyone.
Yeah, you're spooking yourself out over there, old Mr. Skeleton.
I got a cat with ear rot. I got to give him medicine before I go to sleep. Bullshit.
The place is all fucked up.
Dude, you want to sleep over my house one night and just, like, turn all the lights off?
Yeah. I called you Mr. Skeleton, by the way.
I didn't even
because I think
flinch.
You got some bony arms.
Thank you. I have arm anorexia. Thanks for pointing that out.
Oh, okay. God. $600 down the tubes.
But he'll love me more afterwards.
All right, where were we? Bodies were strewn all over the slopes, not just of adventurers searching for the chalice, but anyone unlucky enough to be stuck on its deadly incline. While Ned was walking, he saw the bones of several 12-year-old boys who had died looking for their football after their one friend their mom told them they had to be nice to kicked the ball up the mountain. They probably all died horribly of starvation, proving once and for all that being nice to people will get you killed. Mount Pringles strikes again.
Oh, man. They didn't even want to hang out with that kid.
No, they never. Nobody
they
did.
Killed them. They died for that.
Yeah.
Don't be nice, guys.
Nope.
Don't be nice.
Don't be nice. Ned's beard was full of ice because his snot had frozen to his face like booger stalactites. He huffed and puffed as he entered a clearing, almost ready to collapse from exhaustion, when suddenly he heard voices. As he entered the clearing, he saw dozens of shirtless orcs just wiling the fuck out. As he got closer, they all stopped and turned to see the red-bearded Viking collapse to his knees with exhaustion. "Oh, who the fucking hell is this now?" said an orc as he made his man tits twerk. "Must be another sucker looking for the chalice," said another as he did that bodybuilding pose that looks like you're giving a ghost a headlock. Ned panted and used his sword as a crutch to lift himself to his feet again. "I seek treasure," he said. "Let me pass, for you do not know who you are dealing with." All the orcs started going buck fucking wild and shouting, "Oh, shit." One orc did a 9 take and snapped his own neck from the whiplash. "You do not know who you are messing with," said a voice from behind the other orcs. As he made his way to the front, Ned saw him. It was Michael Jorkton, Daranos' most famous baskethead player. "If you can beat me in a game of baskethead, you may pass. Nobody has ever beaten me, and I also get to kill you if you lose. And I also get all your stuff, and all your friends are instantly become my friends," said Michael Jorkton. "I will do what I must," said Ned. Just then, Michael Jorkton unsheathed his sword, kicked one of his fellow orcs to the ground, and just cut his fucking head right off. And spun the head on his finger for at least 5 seconds.
Oh. Blood got everywhere.
You know what, though? I mean, that guy was expendable because he probably got that friend from somebody else anyway.
Yeah.
He
wasn't
one of his real
friends.
He
was like, "I'm about to gain, I don't know, 3 friends at least, so I can lose this one."
Right. You can, it's like you play with like your toys, like you're nice to your, but when you play with your friend's toys, you like break them because you don't care.
Mm-mm. Well, that's you believe that's true.
Friend,
I never did.
Friends are toys. Friends are objects. Use them.
Your story today is full of so many good messages.
Mm-hmm. Don't be nice.
That's why I'm here.
Be evil.
Yeah, be evil.
Be evil, because the reward, the perks of being evil are just awesome.
They're kind of the same. I kind of like just reiterated the same message.
Yep. Don't play with kids.
Don't play with kids that are weird. Weirdo kids. Be mean to them. Ned lined up to defend the basket, which was literally a basket tied atop of a guillotine. Jorked and dribbled the head with such skill, it was like watching poetry if poetry had arms and legs and you could actually understand it.
And poetry could dunk.
Michael lunged and juked toward Ned, faking him out, and from almost a complete standstill, leapt into the air, stuck his three tongues out, and dunked from half court. The orcs were going fucking crazy. One of them conjured a klaxon spell. Another started doing the suck it motion under the guillotine in plain sight, so Ned could see clearly that this man wanted Ned to suck his dick. Ned squinted and rubbed his eyes to see what he was doing. Yep, there was no question about it. He wanted Ned to suck his dick. Ned was stunned. How was he going to defeat this juggernaut? Ned, now having the head, chucked up a desperate three. The orcs watched as the ball clumsily sailed through the air and bricked off the guillotine. The orcs laughed and booed, going even crazier than they had before. Suck it, orcs game was strong this day as he continued to pump the air full of hot orc dick while highlighting the appropriate crotchal area with his hand motion.
I think that guy might be the real protagonist of this story.
Sometimes you gotta jump around a bit. As the game went on, Jorkton was winning 104-0 after the first minute, with Michael Jorkton somehow scoring 102 points on one dunk. Ned knew there was no way to win, so he did the only thing he could: cheat. When he got the severed head back, Ned threw it straight into the air. Everyone went silent and watched the head fly up into the sky. Then Ned pulled out his magical sword named Ice Ice Baby and pointed it straight at Michael Jorkton. The runes on the blue blade glowed, revealing an ancient text which said, "No, you suck it." The blade let forth a beam which froze Jorkton in place. Just then, Ned leapt into the air, grabbed the head, and with his magic ice powers that I just made up, made a ramp to the basket. As he ran up the ice ramp ready to score, he turned around and did the moonwalk before finally slamming the head down so hard into the basket that the guillotine backboard shattered, causing the blade to fall. Below, the orc was still doing the suck it sign. As the blade fell, he did not move, and he did not see the blade falling, It sliced right through his peener, cutting it right the fuck off of his green and now dickless body.
Oh, that's gonna ruin him! That was his thing!
He was the best at that!
For him.
I kind of hope the story now veers off into this, the story of that orc's recovery.
Him rehabbing, learning to suck it again.
That's a better story than I wrote. All right, see you next week, everybody.
Just make that part up right now.
For him, it was a day to remember. Not as the day someone finally defeated Michael Jorkton, but as the day his dick was cut off. Hundreds of miles away in a tree, a baby merkmunk was napping quietly and contently in his crib when suddenly he was awakened by the shockwave of a broken backboard and immediately pooped his diaper and started crying. Was this what caused his hatred for loud noises? Or was it the fact that his mother didn't come in to comfort him because she was in the other room giving his merkmunk dad a slobbery beach? It was probably the second one.
By the way, that's exactly what parenting is like. That's the real story right there.
Trying to find
time to just get your freak on so your kid doesn't know.
All issues come from dad not coming into the room because he was busy.
That's right.
He was busy.
Busy getting busy.
The orcs fell silent as they watched helplessly as the ice consumed Michael Jorkton. With his last breath, he summoned Ned over and spoke.
You got game. That's how you ball. You may pass.
Mad respect, he chattered as the ice finally consumed him, freezing him solid but not killing him so that he can appear in later stories, probably.
Later, future other basketball-related stories.
Yeah, man.
Hey, man, you never know when he's going to try baseball.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about the basket and Olympic team. That
oh, the Dream
oh,
Team?
My God, the dream team.
The Emerald Dream Team? The orcs were silent as Ned walked through their ranks. They parted, letting him through. Then one started to slow clap. Then another. Then another. Even Dickless Suckadork was now clapping. And then the Knight Rider beat began to play. Soon Ned reached the cave at the top of the mountain. He went inside and followed the caverns for several more days that aren't important because nothing cool happened until he got to the treasure room at the end. Inside, he saw a golden chalice sitting on a pedestal made from a spine of a long-dead drake. Not the dragon, the rapper.
Whoa.
Whoa. Got a timeline as to where when this takes place.
Triangulate it. As he made his way toward the chalice, he heard a loud boom. From the ceiling descended an ancient and powerful fire guardian. Ned stopped in his tracks and marveled at how beautiful the guardian was. She was made of fire and had a comely shape. Her eyes glowed red with rage, and her hair was red, also with fire, and she had a fire armor on. Basically, everything was fire. Did you think it was going to be that easy, Viking? Spoke the guardian. Easy, he replied. I just cut an orc's dick off. The guardian intensified her flame aura. You must defeat me, she shouted, then punched Ned with her flaming fist right in the face. Ned reeled back and felt blood trickle down his lip. Then he touched the red-hot blood and was shocked. Nobody makes him bleed. Nobody makes me bleed, he yelled, then punched the guardian right in the face. You piece of Viking shit, she yelled, and spun-kicked Ned right in the head. Ned slowly recovered and landed a crane kick right to the fire guardian's fire crotch. The two slugged it out and landed several more blows to each other. I'll kill you, shouted the fire guardian. I love you, shouted Ned as he punched her in the tit. I fucking love you too, she yelled, and then they kissed each other deeply with tongue. The two began to make out so hard that steam was coming off every damn part of Ned, even his pee hole. They started ripping each other's clothes off, even though the fire guardians were made of fire, which we established earlier. Soon the entire cavern began to melt around them as they performed every form of oral known in Theranos, which at the time there were only three kinds. The walls began to shake and collapse. The chalice fell off the pedestal and slid around on the now slick wet floor as it began to melt. The cavern was now like some sort of physical metaphor for the fire guardian's pussy.
Oh, wow.
Suddenly, the entire cave began to collapse as the mountain itself began to melt from the heat from the fuck sesh that was raging on inside of it. Ned grabbed a shield. Ned grabbed a shield from a dead warrior and stood atop it, grabbing the fire guardians, whose tits were looking so awesome right about now. As the mountain collapsed, the two surfed down an avalanche of ice. While they continued to bone, they were standing 69ing as Ned did a backflip off of a jump. Ned didn't know which hole his peener was going in, and he didn't care.
Oh my God.
The chalice fell into a pit of fire below the mountain, never to be seen again. No, really, it's not coming back, so just forget about it. Get over it. It's gone. Back to the sex now, and enough about that stupid relic. Ned was doing front flips while he was performing the best oral anyone had ever given anyone. Her pubes were more red than even Ned's, which was pretty damn impressive. I mean, you could land an airplane on how bright his pubes were if airplanes existed, but they don't. They were standing boning like they doing porn, which meant you knew Ned was strong. The fire guardian rubbed ice cubes that she got somewhere on Ned's nipples, which were pierced with a chain running across from nip to nip. A dog tag rattled around his neck that only read, Big Bad Ice Boy. This was much better than jerking off the icicles that looked like tits, Ned thought to himself. It was as he buried his face into the guardian's booty. As they reached the bottom of the mountain, the shield came to a stop. All that was left of Ned was a charred skeleton.
Oh my God!
The fire guardian hopped off his charred dick and evaporated into the air, never to be seen again. Or was she? Ned's skeleton dropped to the ground, his red beard charred on his bare skull from probably Frenching all that fire. The mountain behind him settled into a giant crater where steam still bellows out to this day. Ned's remains laid silent for a moment. His quest was a failure. He hadn't achieved immortality. After a second, Ned's skeleton turned his head directly to the camera and said, I jitted so hard. Finn.
Wait, so was he burned by her booty when he motorboated her butt?
He was just going hard, man. He just died.
Or did he J so hard that all of his life shot drank out of his butt?
He should have drank like a Gatorade or something.
Yeah, dude. I mean, post-workout Gatorade.
He should have drank it from that chalice. If he did, they'd still be fucking
they'd
right
still
now.
Be gone. Yeah, man.
Shouldn't have dropped that chalice, man. Bad choice.
Their fuck session killed all those orcs, by the way. That collapsed. They're done.
Oh, wow.
No one's going to ever know what happened.
Court's gone.
So was that like how when we had like this dinosaur era and there was all these volcanoes going off?
Mm-hmm.
In Daranos, they all went off because dudes were just fucking.
Dudes were fucking side mountains.
Elementals and each other.
And it just killed pretty much everything and brought forth new Earth.
Science has yet to determine if that's what happened on Earth.
Yeah, they haven't said that it hasn't happened that way. So.
There's no proof that it hasn't. Prove me wrong. I'm evil. I think whatever I want.
All right, guys, I have bad news. I forgot to write a story, so I'm just going to make one up right now.
Oh, man. Well, okay. Hey, do it to it.
All right. For those of you out there who have not heard the previous episode I was on, this story takes place in a world I made up in that episode.
Yes.
And I'm going to do a little recap at the beginning of this story.
Oh, okay.
So that... Because there's important...
Do you need, like, recap music? Okay.
So this is the pre-cap.
This is a pre-cap. This is a pre-cap on the recap. Just to let you know it's going to be happening.
Okay.
All right. All right. This story is called Of Ice and Men, a.k.a. Good Times with New Friends, a.k.a. Ghetto Fantasy. Far beyond Daranos and Orcspire, just west of that kiosk in the Frightmere Woods, where a dwarf named Weird Dwayne will whittle you a fake nude of anyone you want, as long as you bring him a picture of them, a piece of wood, and give him permission to take that shit for a test drive, lies the kingdom of Stone's Realm, a once peaceful land ruled by the benevolent keepers of the five spirit stones, Ryabel the Wise, Dianitrox the Unmovable, Fyeris the Impenetrable, Soraborn the All-Powerful, and of course, Keith, a really solid dude.
Yeah, Keith.
They're still all dead now.
No, Keith!
Yep, they're not alive. Murdered for their spirit stones by Moriban, a total poop dick sorcerer who terrorized the land with a really dumb cape he called the Cloak of Illusions and an army of assorted shithead brutes. With the keepers dead and the spirit stones in his possession, Moriban wasted no time conquering the entirety of Stone's Realm and bending it to his whims. For instance, he made a law that every guy that saw him had to give him one of those handshake hugs and go, "Sup, man, where you been?"
Dude, seriously.
Like he's been down since day one, which isn't true. Plus, he's always got cold, sweaty hands and only wants to talk about this ziplining trip he went on once. Ah, he fucking sucks. But it's cool because he's dead now, too. He's gone. Having met his demise at the hands of the greatest warrior Stone's Realm has ever known, a cobbler named Rindle, upon receiving an enchanted broadsword called Get Fucked that once belonged to Keith, the really solid dude, Rindle was transformed into Swordborn the Savage, a barbarian so jacked and awesome at swordery, he'd make your mama say, "Boys, family meeting. It's time you know the truth. I'm not who you think I am." Oh, then she'd tear off a mask, revealing she was really your dad the whole time.
Fucking shit.
And your dad was really your mom.
What? Whoa.
Then you'd go straight to therapy, but you'd never really be the same. With the help of a kindly aide named Granlo the Old and a terrifying polar bear mount known as Ice Bitch, Swordborn defeated Moriban, united the Spirit Stones, and went about the business of saving Stone's Realm. All right, so therein ends The recap.
Yes. Gotcha.
You're caught up. There have been 7 tri-lunar cycles since Swordborn's first adventure, and now everything is great in Stone's Realm. The streets are safe to roam at night, even in areas you just go to buy drugs or accidentally pay a ladyboy to touch your girtworm.
Girtworm. Jesus Christ.
Jobs are on the rise, and kids spend their days hanging out with their pop-pops and nanas. Because in this new enlightened world, even the children know that life is fleeting. And if you don't grab it by the dick hairs, it'll get away from you.
That's so
and
true.
And by you, I mean you, the listener. If you still have a pop-pop or a nana, give them a call after this show. Tell them you love them. And if you don't have one, go into the home of a random old person and hug the shit out of them. They'll be down. Today is a special day in Stone's Realm, as a much-anticipated monument to Keith, the really solid dude, was being dedicated. Looking on at the festivities is the king of the realm, Swordborn himself.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
He smiles and surveys the crowd and realizes that for the first time in a very long time, his people are happy. Suddenly, pain, sharp and instant, rings through Swordborn's head, face, general torso region, butthole, and everywhere else.
Rise and shine, dick taste!
He hears someone yell. And then boom! Swordborn opens his eyes. Yep, that's right. He was dreaming.
Whoa!
Psych, you dummies! I got you so hard!
Man, I should have known.
I fucking got you! Oh,
all the clues
so
were there.
Life in Stone's Realm isn't good. In fact, it's worse than ever.
God damn it.
Sure, Moriban was bad, but now no one's steering the ship, and it's Bedlam. Roving armies vie to take control of the realm, and Swordborn is currently a prisoner of one of them.
Oh my god.
Swordborn had made it his mission to root out all former Moriban thugs and kill them in the face with Get Fucked. The journey itself had been fraught with danger and adventures. Adventures you'll never hear about because I'm lazy.
Most honest sentence ever.
This narrator fucking punked us and then just told us he's not going to tell us that much more.
He does whatever he wants, this narrator.
He does what he wants.
The piece of paper he's holding doesn't have any words on it except fuck all. That's what it says in here. Let's just say that along the way, our hero grew a beard, started believing in ghosts, became a master puppeteer, and befriended a Cyclops who, I'm not saying is the same one that's in Krull, but totally is the same one that's in Krull.
We've referenced Fire and Ice and Krull. One more, boys.
The quest had led he and Ice Bitch into the frozen wasteland of North Stone's Realm's most northern point, where, because of some bullshit, they became prisoners of the Trota, a.k.a. the Toke Zone Mafia, a name only used by these two dudes in the group, Dave and Travis, who tended to the Pomerans in the stables. They were not well-liked among their people. This group of seafaring Vikings and their ship became lodged in the ice north of Stone's Realm. Though they knew nothing of living in a frozen wasteland, they embraced their new ice home and have been there ever since because they are dumb and couldn't think of a better way. Hundreds of them die each year.
Oh my god.
Get up!
Snarled the guard as he once again hit Swordborn in the face with a frozen bucket of water in lieu of the regular not-frozen prisoner wake-up water a guard would usually use.
They have like a special trough just for that water.
Yeah. Well, they don't know how to live in a land that's frozen, so yeah. All their methods don't work.
That's true. Yeah.
Gertax is expecting you.
Mind if I clean myself up? Asked Swordborn.
You can clean up D's, replied the guard.
Swordborn stared the guard down.
I said D's.
Still, the hero stared with contempt, refusing to ask for clarification of what D's are.
D's,
the guard once again replied. Swordborn gave him nothing. The guard relented. D's nuts, bitch. Swordborn.
Got him. Fucking got his ass.
Eventually. Oh my god.
Swordborn knew he would be killing the shit out of that guy in a few paragraphs.
In a few paragraphs. Fucking great.
Swordborn was ushered into a large amphitheater, filled to capacity with the Trota, who all chanted in unison, Gertax, Gertax, Gertax. Gertax, a hulking, fat-ass Viking clad in armor and fur, entered and greeted the crowd. Legend has it that he was born brandishing the Spear of Yorlin, an ancient relic with the power to turn anyone pierced by its blade into solid stone.
Oh, shit.
Others say his mom had stuck the spear up there for some reason. He's happened to kind of grab it while he was in there. But either way, Gertax did come out holding the spear, so it was his birthright.
For some reason.
Use your imagination. There's a couple reasons why she might have done that. But that wasn't the weapon that most caught Swordborn's eye. His attention was focused solely on what sat next to Gertek's throne. Frozen unceremoniously into a block of ice was Swordborn's enchanted singing broadsword, Get Fucked. Yes. Gertax silenced the crowd and surveyed Swordborn. Swordborn the Savage, you are charged with... Swordborn suddenly super kicked the head off that dickhead guard from before.
Oh,
fuck yes.
I knew it would only be a couple paragraphs. Swordborn the Savage, you are charged with trespassing on our sovereign lands. Not only that, you also refuse to tell us how you got here and thusly how we, after 10 years, might leave. Gertax looked down at the guard. Also murder. You're also charged with murder. Per our laws, I have taken your female traveling companion and made her my wife as punishment for your trespass. She is now Queen of the Trota. From behind Gertax, Ice Bitch was brought forward in chains and a super sexy Ice Princess outfit.
Oh,
I know,
damn.
It's crazy. I just said she looked sexy. She's a polar bear. What are you going to do? She's married to a human now. It's that kind of world. And yep. you think he's not going to do her later? You're lying to yourself. Grow up and deal with it.
Grow up. So many good messages.
In the matter of murder, you will be dealt the same fate as others who've come before you. A chance to earn your redemption in a fight to the death with the Slorvok. With that, a large gate opened at the edge of the arena and out stomped the Slorvok. These giant, ill-tempered ice golems are formed every time a bad child makes a wish and throws a coin into the icy waters of North Stone's realm. This particular one was created by a kid named Kurgi, who wished he was the only boy in the world allowed to pet cats. Jesus, what a garbage kid.
Fucking Kurgi.
Now, choose your weapon, Gertax bellowed at Swordborn. Without hesitation, Swordborn replied, I choose Get Fucked and your magic spear wrapped together with a rubber band. Annoyed, Gertax beckoned one of his advisors. The two shared a terse exchange, after which Gertax rolled his eyes. As you wish, said Gertax. Although, if there are any members of the clan council here, we will definitely be having a meeting to discuss this loophole. Mm-hmm. Probably next Wednesday. The requested weapons were tossed to Swordborn, who immediately tore off the rubber band and heaved the Spear of Yorlin back at Gertax. With all his might, Gertax moved his head slightly to the right, and the spear sailed right past him.
Whoa.
You missed, laughed Gertax. That's cheater's proof, asshole. The Trota booed loudly. They hated cheaters and proof. The Slorvok roared and advanced on Swordborn. The barbarian readied himself, and then, as Get Fucked began belting out For Whom the Bell Tolls,
yes!
He leapt up and threw himself directly into the mouth of the Slorvok. Swordborn then began punching, kicking, and sword-chopping the creature's icy insides as the beast roared, Jesus. And a subtitle appeared below it reading, All there is pain for me now. May sweet death claim me soon. Goodbye, my icy home. No one read my journal, please.
All that.
When the punching and chopping, kicking, super kicking, and swording were over, all that was left was a small chunk of ice that Swordborn had fashioned into a key. He nonchalantly threw the key directly into the lock on Ice Bitch's restraints. As the chains fell off, she roared and then lost her fucking mind. Charging directly into the crowd and systematically throat-biting everyone in attendance one by one. To this day, survivors of her attack won't speak of what they saw that day. They can't because they're dead. There were no survivors.
And if they did survive, throat damage.
Yeah, throat damage. Yeah.
And probably massive jaw, face, tongue.
Yeah.
General trauma.
Nobody would probably want to look at them long enough to hear it. It's just a mess.
Suddenly, a giant fist slammed down on the head of Swordborn. Oh, fuck! What the fuck? He yelled. It was Gertax. He might have been a fat piece of shit who married a polar bear, but he was also as strong as 20 men. The lumbering Viking slammed Swordborn with blow after blow until the warrior was down on the ground looking up at the fur-clad giant. Eat shit and die, warrior, bellowed Gertax. No, replied Swordborn. I don't want to. With that, the spear of Yorlin buried itself deep into Gerlax's chest. Oh, that's Gertax. That's a mistake. Name on that one. And probably many other instances in this story. Go back and count them if you want to in the episode.
Transcribe it. That is it.
With that, the spear of Yorlin buried itself deep into Gertax's chest. As the same look someone makes after seeing a David Blaine trick descended onto the mighty Viking's face, and his entire body turned to stone, Swordborn got to his feet. He didn't need to see who threw the spear. He knew. Standing there, already smoking a long pipe, was the Cyclops, who I'm not saying is the same one that's in Krull, but totally is the same one that's in Krull. Ice Bitch returned to Swordborn's side, still looking sexy, despite the fact that she was pretty much soaked in Viking blood. Man, said the Cyclops from Krull, exhaling pipe smoke. I hate Moon's Days. The three warriors laughed and Get Fucked began singing, It's a Long Way to the Top if you want to rock and roll. Freeze frame, credits, the end.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Great.
As magical, if not more magical, than the first tale.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
A lot more violent. But I think, you know, this is the tale we wanted to hear.
There wasn't enough fighting in the first one.
There was a lot of world building, a lot of fun world building. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now it paid off in that story, but it paid off even more in this one. Great story.
Thank you very
much. Good job. Hilarious.
There was something I was going to ask.
Was it about, can you send me a drawing of the bear?
Yes. If you guys could go ahead and draw Ice Bitch, covered in blood or not, or in sexy
matter.
Ice armor, yeah. Your choice, please do it and send it to us.
Go ahead.
Yeah, do that now. Josh and Tim, are you ready for my tale of relics and ice Vikings?
I'm so fucking ready. I'm so ready. I'm so ready that my readiness is itself a relic.
Wow. He's right. I'm in the room with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's right.
There it is.
Okay, so this story, apparently in a story, someone left a comment and they were like, I want to hear more about Dueling Dudes by Daniel J. Noodleman,
mm-hmm.
which is a book that I established in an earlier episode that people in Orcspire really like to read.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this is Dueling Dudes by Daniel J.
Oh, man.
Great.
Starts off with a prologue. Well, it was the dudes who fought
And dudes who won. Dudes who beat up everyone. There was heavy dude attitude. I tell you, man, some dudes was nude. It was the dueling dudes of the Ice Vikings.
Fucking awesome.
You don't get a lot of sung prologues in books these days.
You know what? I couldn't think of one in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
So I was moved.
It was maybe 11 p.m. in Orkspire, and it was a scary night, for it just felt like someone was going to die so interestingly that it would make for a great story. The forest was quiet, too quiet, mm-hmm. like something was going to happen, but it didn't. So some fog was rolling across hills and into a town called Butterscotch, where everyone's dad was a ruthless axe maker who took no shit. The fog was just rolling through the streets and through some alleys, and maybe it fogged up some windows and stuff, and hey! Shouted a man wearing a nightcap from a window. Get the hell out of here, you narrator. No one wants to die. Bees attacked this man.
Bees.
Oh, dear God, shouted the man as bees. Shouted the man as bees flew into his pee hole and stung his balls.
God.
Oh, that should have been in a Candyman movie.
It was. It was cut, actually. This was inspired.
I should have never stood up to him, the man added as he cried. The man died from pain several hours later.
Oh my God.
The worst death.
Anyway, let's travel to the great ice mountains of the north, where inside dwell the Ice Vikings of Orkspire, a very specific race of Vikings that claim to be carved from the mountains themselves.
Dude.
Though none of them are made of ice, and I should have researched this more. Look, I didn't say I was a great narrator. I just saw this open book, and I just started making things up. Ice Vikings from all over the mountains filled the great hall. On the ice throne sat the dying king during the last minutes of his reign.
Oh, geez.
His beard was long and his clothes were pajamas, because if you're going to go, comfortably.
Yeah,
that's true. Yep. Yeah.
By his side was Dolomor Dude, his brother Viking by blood. The king's breathing started to go.
Oh my God, this is dark.
You know, that's how you know you're about to die, is when your breathing starts
to go, yeah.
It's no good. You might as well just get a new body.
My breathing's acting up.
As he struggled to stay alive for a few more moments, he mustered his remaining strength and said, "Peace out."
Best death.
He then died, turning completely to ice, then exploding and shattering himself all over the people who were watching, and
holy,
they were grossed out.
Shit.
Isn't that, though, tradition?
That's how the king's supposed to go. Mm-hmm. So some of them were into it, but mostly they were like,
into it.
This dude was just some dumpy guy in his pajamas. Okay. A single tear slid off of his brother's face. It froze as it fell, crashing apart as it hit the throne room's ice tile.
Oh my God.
Somewhere, the beginning of The Cure's disintegration started. The song, not the entire album.
Yeah.
Well, sighed Dolomor, we know what must be done. Huh? Asked the Viking guard. Dolomor looked around the room for a moment, expecting at least one person to know. Finally, he sighed and explained. We hold a duel to the death tournament for the Ice Horn to decide who leads the Ice Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
What? Replied the guard. Holy fuck, shouted another guard at this outrageous news. You guys didn't know that? Asked Dolomor. How could we have known that? King Dude has been ruling our people for ages. He's the only king we've ever had. Yeah, Dude was like FDR, said a dimension traveler who had been laying low with the Ice Vikings for
holy shit. That's canon as fuck. That's canon as fuck.
He better not be using science to travel those dimensions.
Who the heck is FDR? Asked a particularly buff guard, not wanting to blow his cover. The dimension traveler thought quickly. Oh, it stands for
friggin' dad, right? Remember how old dad got? Man, we had some old dads, said the moon human as he adjusted his dimension helmet.
What the fuck? The moon human? What the fuck?
Oh, God.
Yes, replied the buff Viking. My father did live a long, unfulfilled life. The guard stroked his beard and thought about the ice bike his dad said he'd build him one day, but never did.
Oh my god, Dad.
Fucking friggin' dad, right?
Friggin' dad, right?
Friggin' dad.
FDR. Yes, shouted an old dude covered in rags and all the way at the back of the hall. I'm finally going to have my chance to rule. The old dude tore off his rags, revealing a body that looked like it had been sculpted by the gods.
Damn.
Whoa, said a Viking with a skull on his beard. That's kind of an evil thing for you to want at this point in your life. You sound like you're crazy for power. You're damn right, replied the old man as he posed in several fighting styles. I'm going to change all the rules. No more solid food.
Damn, he is old.
Everyone hated this guy. Some people who weren't going to enter the tournament walked over to an open table and started a sign-up sheet. Dolomore kicked the doors of the ice castle down with his Timberlands. The dueling must start now, asked the guard. The dueling must start now, asked the guard. Right now, in the middle of the night? Dolomore turned back to the guard. There is no time. The dudes must duel. Dudes had to duel, even if they were brothers. Dudes had to duel. I tell you, it was like no other dueling moment in my life.
Holy shit.
The Ice Vikings filled the ancient outdoor arena as the tournament began. Two Vikings stood across from each other on the arena floor. I must do this for my mother, whispered the younger Viking as he gripped his sword. Please do not fight, my son, pled his mother from the stands. Shut up, Mom! Try to do something, shouted the young warrior back to his mother. But as he did, an axe flew through the air and hit him square in the face. That boy never listened, said the mom as she moved on with her life.
No,
holy shit.
You know what? Good for her.
She tried. Yeah. She tried. He's a jerk.
Some people never get over that.
Mm-mm.
She did.
Mm-hmm. Pretty quickly.
Very quickly.
The next match was the one that everyone was waiting for. Whip Tanline versus Bruce Hardnips.
Oh my god.
The two entered the arena and started making out hard. People were like, whoa, I thought this was a duel to the death. But they weren't complaining because the show they were getting was hotter than any other show they had ever seen. The audience was eventually moved to tears when the two spooned and fell asleep.
Oh, my God.
The judges were unsure how to score this one, so they said Whip took it because he was the big spoon. Two more Vikings entered the arena. They were equally matched and fought for hours. They started taking breaks every few minutes to catch their breath, and everyone was really bored until bees attacked them.
Oh!
Everyone started chanting, bees, bees, bees. Both men died from bee stings, and a lot of people wanted the bees to be the next king, but not happening.
Wait, why not?
Cause
yeah, you can't make those bees king. Those bees have been in someone's pee hole. They can't be.
Dude, hive mind, bro. Hive mind.
Dude, they could be a queen.
That's
but
true.
But that's it.
Okay.
All right. All right. It was suddenly it was the final match. It is now time for the final match, shouted an announcer. Princess Glacier?
What?
The crowd said, all together at the same time. Princess Glacier was King Dude's daughter, who you've yet to hear about.
Mm-hmm.
Dolomore came down from the stands and said, Princess, this is a duel of dudes. Emphasis on dudes. It's dudes only. You're mm-hmm. a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Also, how did you get into the finals without me, you notice? You all call me dude all the time, replied Princess Glacier.
Mm-hmm,
and isn't it one of those gender-neutral terms that you use to describe everyone who's hanging out?
Mm-hmm.
You bring up some great points, said Dolomore as he returned to his seat. That's right. He's just going to allow this.
So bees can't be king.
No. But this is okay.
Okay, all right. Well, progress is a little slow, but okay. All right.
It takes a little time. And her opponent, announced the announcer. Oh, dude. The crowd booed and hissed. One guy threw his son at him and he bit him.
What? His whole son?
threw his whole son at him.
God, the parent-child relationship in his book.
The child was not doing it. The child was into it. The child bit
liked
him.
It. He wanted it.
I thought he bit the kid.
No. He bit the old dude.
You bite a kid. If something throws a kid at me, I'll bite him.
Yeah, I would bite.
Someone
throwing
a chicken leg at me.
I would try to bite him before I try to block him with my arms.
Yeah.
Squires brought the ice horn down to the arena floor to get everyone hyped before the match.
Yep.
Princess Glacier took one look at the horn and almost ralphed. The mouthpiece had never been cleaned, and it was gross.
God.
You think I'm going to put my beautiful lips on that crappin' ass horn? Said the princess. No way, dude. And she tossed the ice horn into the air, and Spinning Heel kicked it, shattering it into the old dude's face. Oh, no! Shouted the old dude as the shards killed him dead.
What the fuck?
The shards melted onto the arena floor as Princess Glacier walked away into the ice set.
What?
The dudes had dueled. Some dudes had won. Some dudes had lost, but dudes had fun. Some dudes cried because some friends died. Why did it have to be a duel to the death? We could have figured out a better plan. Maybe people could have voted or something. I could think of at least 100 different ways to settle this instead of killing each other. And then paying me 10,000 gold to write these awesome songs to record the whole thing. Whose idiot idea was this? It's honestly better if Orcmanity didn't remember. All of a sudden, the ice horn. Reformed like the T-1000, and everyone was shocked. Especially when it said, "Duel, you dudes," and the dueling continued.
Oh my god!
The end.
What?
I get why that book's so popular now.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Oh, the dueling just continues. Hey, Dom, let's talk about this interdimensional traveler.
Is he from the moon, or was he born
on
the moon?
Well, he's a moon human.
Okay.
And it's so far in the future where they can travel not only through time, but through dimensions.
Using
and
a helmet, a dimensional helmet.
Using a dimension helmet.
Yeah.
And, that FDR joke, he just had to make it in that
moment. Oh, yeah, dude.
Did he enter the tournament?
You know what? You're going to have to pick up... pick up book two, Dueling Dudes.
I knew it.
Fire of Ice.
A Fire of Ice. Fucking hilarious.
Oh, there's a 50-page song in that one.
It's a song of fire and ice. So the better version would just be a song about firing ice. That's what it is. Tim, thank you for joining us on another episode of Fantasy Fiction. We have to have you back soon so we can hear more.
I love you.
Oh, Josh.
I just wanted you to know that.
This is...
I'm not kidding. I'm not even kidding.
Our own private Skype session after this is
okay.
Over.
Dom can be there.
If you guys don't mind,
I don't mind.
I mind knowing that you're there, but if you're just there watching it, I don't know.
Oh, I see. I think this is a great idea. Guys, we got to wrap this show up so we can get this phone call.
Yeah, we got stuff to do.
Tim, you perform in the Lusty Horde.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you live here in Los Angeles and you want to come see a live show that is very much like what you hear on Fantasy Fiction, my group, the Lusty Horde, performs at the Nerdist School Theater every second and fourth Saturday of the month.
I highly recommend going to the show. I've gone to the show twice, the same amount of times that Tim's been on this show.
Twice? And now we're done.
No,
who will make
again.
The next move?
I highly recommend seeing this show. It's a lot of fun. If you like this show, you will love that show. It's the Lusty Horde. You can find them on Facebook.
Yeah, and Twitter.
And Twitter At the Lusty Horde?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm, I knew it. Mm-hmm. So check it out, guys. Josh, what do you have to plug?
I have to plug my love for Tim again. Thank you for being on the show. Always hilarious. Also, I would plug you on Twitter. What's your Twitter, your actual Twitter name?
Oh yeah, it's the Tim Jennings.
Follow him. Hilarious.
You tweeted out something recently that I really loved, which was that picture of Walt Disney.
Holding the Nautilus like he just fucking blazed one off of it.
He's got weed eyes.
He does. He's got high weed as shit eyes. In that picture. With this is what the movie's about? I'm like, what? This is like exactly what I imagined when I read the book, guys.
Guys, we have a new website. You can check us out at fantasyficpod.com. The art and design was done by Michael Brooks Chandler. He did a fantasy fiction animated. If you haven't seen it yet, you can check it out.
Awesome.
It was Yetis and Treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Fantasy fiction, Yetis and Treasure. If you just search that, you'll find it. It's also in our liked and favorite videos on our playlists on YouTube. And
Should subscribe to. Do it.
Yeah, youtube.com/fantasyfic. You can also follow us on Twitter at fantasyficpod and find us on Facebook just by searching for Fantasy Fiction.
Mm-hmm. We're the only one.
We're the only one. Guys, if you want to leave a prompt for next episode, go ahead and leave it in the comments. Leave one prompt only. When I say comments, I mean the YouTube comments. So get your ass to Mars and leave a comment.
Get your ass to Mars. Get your ass to Mars. Buzz Aldrin?
Buzz Aldrin said that?
Hey, Buzz Aldrin's listening.
He wears that shirt.
He should leave an idea for a prompt.
I think Dom already did that. Moon men.
Oh, yeah.
Moon humans. Did they already do moon humans? Yeah, Buzz, they already did moon humans. Never mind.
I'm only allowed one, so it's my one.
Well, whatever.
Guys, you can also support the show by checking out fantasyfiction.bigcartel.com. You can also find that on our new website, yet again, fantasyficpod.com. And guys, I don't know. What do we have to say? Anything you want to say before we go, Tim? Any kind messages that people need to hear?
Yeah, don't play with weird kids.
Play with weird kids.
That's right. It's okay to love a bear. It's okay.
Or at the very least, it's okay to think that a bear looks sexy.
Yeah. Who's gonna stop you?
If you're an artist or not, and you want to try and make a bear look sexy in ice armor, draw it, tweet it at us and Tim Jennings at the Tim Jennings.
Oh, man, I can't wait to see Ace Bitch.
Dude, it's gonna be so hot. We got some people who are really talented who draw stuff for the show.
Yeah, you do.
I know some guys who can draw some sweet, sweet cleave. So
with fur on it? Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Oh, there's going to be so many furry renditions of Ice Bitch where she's standing like a human. I don't want to see those.
Where she's got Get Fucked. Like Conan. She's like...
Yeah, yeah.
But thank you guys so much for listening to yet another episode. Tim, thanks once again for joining us.
No, thank you guys.
Hope to have you back soon. And until next week,
keep on wizarding.
Keep on wizarding, even if you look in the mirror and say, I fucking can't do it today. I just can't do it again. All right, wizarding.
Josh, look yourself in the mirror.
Do it, Josh. Keep on wizarding.
Keep on wizarding.
Keep on wizarding, everyone. Have a good week.
Bye.
We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you.